So it's been said many times, many ways. Merry Christmas. We come on this beautiful Christmas night to recognize the coming of God in our midst. At the 4 o'clock Mass tonight, it was an amazing thing. When I had all the kids gathered around me for my homily, and I'm asking them the questions, what are we celebrating tonight? I didn't get Christmas. I didn't get, well, Santa's coming. The first answer out of one of the kids' mouths was Jesus' birthday. It's the first time in 10 years of doing children's masses on Christmas Eve to actually get that as the first answer. Says something about this parish, huh? But in any case, we celebrate Christ's birthday, where God comes into our flesh and He transforms it. He transforms us. He gives us His divinity. The first reading today we hear, the people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. Now, I don't know about you, but if you've ever been in one of those classrooms or something where they shut off the lights so that you can watch some presentation or something like that, maybe you're watching a movie, then someone at the end of it all, without asking anyone, suddenly turns on the lights. What's the first reaction? Ah! It's too much. It's too bright. And that's what would happen if we were to look at God. And so, in a sense, He dims Himself down. He makes Himself small. Little. So small, even, that He's weak. That He can be held like a baby. Now, for those of you who are wondering, this is not a real baby, and so you don't have to think that I'm cruel keeping a baby underneath the ambo. It is a doll. But God became even smaller than this so that He could get close to us, so that we wouldn't be afraid of Him. Because we can often be afraid of God. Because of our sin, because of we're afraid He might smite us or something like that. And that's not what God wants at all. We might run from God because we want our own ways. We might be angry at Him for the things that He's done. You may have heard this story before about Maria von Trapp. Now, for those of you who don't know who Maria von Trapp is, you have to watch The Sound of Music. Do, a dia, a female dia, re, a drop of golden sun. Familiar? Anyone? Okay, anyways. But that, of course, is a Broadway version of her life. Her real life, of course, did have some of those real things in it, but it wasn't exactly a musical show for her life. After she escaped from Austria, she ended up actually settling in upstate Vermont, which not that far away. But if you've read the story of Maria von Trapp, you'll know that that whole piece about her being a nun, she loved being a nun. She loved Jesus. She loved the fact that she wanted to give herself as the bride to Christ. She loved Jesus so much. But they asked her to go and help out in this family where the children were sick and they needed to actually, someone to take care of the children because the mother had died. And so she went, she was taking care of the children. She fell in love with the children. And the Baron von Trapp fell in love with her. And he said, as a proposal to marriage to her, he said, "Would you be the mother of my children?" And she said yes, because she wanted to be the mother of the children. She didn't realize he was asking her to marry him. And then as they're moving towards marriage, she says, "You know, I don't have to be married to you to take care of your children." And he would just take her hand and squeeze it as a sign of love, thinking that he was showing her how much he loved her. And she didn't have a clue. She was very intelligent, but street smarts, she didn't have them. So, comes to the point where they get married, and she then got angry with God. Because she had given herself as a bride to Christ. She thought that that's what her call was. And suddenly now she's married and in an unexpected relationship. And so she stopped going to church. Every time that the weekend would come, she would contract a sickness. And so the kids would go off to Mass with Baron von Trapp. But amazingly, by the afternoon, she'd be feeling much better. But it happened every week, every week, every week. And finally, one day, she was passing by the children's rooms, who she did love very much. And she heard the children praying, "Dear Jesus, please keep Mama healthy so that she can come to Christmas Mass with us." Well, that just melted her heart. So she went to Mass with them. But as she walks into the church, she says, "Jesus, I'm not here for you. I'm angry at you. I'm here for the kids." So she sits down, knowing full well she's not going to pray. She's not going to do anything that has to do with Jesus. But then the youngest one says, "Can we go up to see the manger?" Well, she can't refuse her child anything. She loves these children so much. So she takes the child by the hand and they go up to the manger. And there is Jesus with arms outstretched. This baby reaching out for her. She could be angry with God. She could be angry with an adult Jesus. But she couldn't be angry with a baby. One who is helpless. One who is small. One who is non-threatening. And her heart melted. And she came to love Jesus again. God became one of us. He became so small, so that we wouldn't be threatened by him, so that we wouldn't be afraid, so that we wouldn't go run and hide, so that we wouldn't stay angry, because who can be angry at the tiny little baby? He says, "I want you to know how close I want to hold you. I want to hold you in my heart, but because you're going to run, I'm going to make myself small so you will hold me in your heart." And not only does he do this, he becomes even smaller, becoming bread, the Eucharist, transforming it so that we could then get so close to him that he would come into us and snuggle into our hearts. The light of God would be too much for us if he were to come in power. But he didn't come in power. He came small. He came weak. This is the mystery of Christmas. The mystery of our God's love for us. The mystery of what he wants from each one of us. The mystery of the greatest love story in the universe. On this Jesus' birthday, now we are asked, what are we going to give Jesus? What are we going to give Jesus for his birthday? At the 4 o'clock Mass, one of the kids said he'd give Jesus a high five. I'm sure he'd like that. But I'm sure that's not exactly what he's looking for. What does he want? He doesn't want our stuff. He doesn't want the things of our lives. He wants our hearts. He wants our love. He wants us to want him. Will we give Him that for His birthday? God becomes small so that we can get close to Him. Will we give Him what He desires more than anything? That we get close to Him.